What's up, everybody? We're out here again doing another Trail Talk episode. We're out with Rob Christensen, Rob on the Rocks. We're going to run 777s in his Maverick. Pretty excited about this. As always, if you're just listening, just remember this is recorded on Cardo Edge phones on trail. So if you hear sounds and things that sound like you should be watching, you should probably just go see the video instead of listening to the podcast. But either way, we're happy you're here. Rob, thanks for coming out with me, man.
It's always a good time.
Yeah, dude. So tell me about... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, never a bad day on the rocks.
No.
That's how I always look at it. Stuff breaks out here, but you know what? It is what it is.
Yep. Even if they're cold like they are this morning.
Yeah, it was supposed to get down to 33 last night.
I think it did.
So, yeah.
But
just
tell
happy.
Me about... Tell me about your car a little bit. Sorry.
Oh, no. I bought it back in 2019. Brand new car.
Yeah.
We played with it and beat it. Played with it and beat it a lot. We stretched it and, you know, portaled it. We've ran everything at it. Gone from, you know, 30s all the way to 39s with water in them and taking it back down to 37s with no water. So, long and short of it, it's been a fun car, and it does what it needs to do for a Can-Am in the rocks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, as by the time you start talking about stretching frames and stuff, you're pretty committed at that point.
Oh, yeah, no. You chop a car in half, and you're like, hey, how's this going to work out? Is this going to line back up? You know, it's and we had Voodoo do it all, which was awesome. He did a great job on it, putting it all together.
Yeah.
It came out and it works. Part thing, so stretch it to a 113, which is a pretty dominating length for the industry.
Yeah, just over that 110 mark is pretty good wheelbase.
Yeah.
I'm in the limo machine, so I'm like 128 or something like that, and it's just belly city everywhere I go. That's okay, so, though.
Yeah, they all have their purpose.
Yep.
There's no perfect length out in this territory, I'll tell you that.
No, just gotta find the right spots. But what do you?
Yeah.
So you just decided to go portals? Are you just looking for clearance? Is that what your story was there? Just want to run bigger tires? Need the reduction?
Yeah. Little combination of all of it. I was trying to also minimize drivetrain components. That was my biggest thing. That 30% reduction takes a lot of beating at the portal versus sending it to your drive shafts.
Yeah.
Transmissions, those kind of things, differentials. So,
yeah,
plus the ground clearance is huge out here. You can run some bigger tires, but it takes a lot to fine tune a portal car to be dependable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
and that's you've gone even so far that we were talking earlier, not today, but a couple days ago about you guys are running less nitrogen. Yeah, I don't know who else, but you. Mike Thompson, you guys have gone so far as to basically take what most people would, I guess, kind of consider a desert Baja car, and you were saying you can't run really, I don't know what your top speed is. I'm sure you can if it's smooth, but you're basically limited on speed because your shocks are set so soft.
They're set soft enough to reduce the rebound.
Yeah.
But it's very critical when you get into vertical stuff.
Yeah.
You get into that and you're like, huh. But yeah, I can't go smashing through the whoops doing 70 miles an hour like your average side by side. So, you know, it's a little compromise. You compromise this to gain this. So that's all the whole industry's about.
Yep. No such thing as right, only trade off.
Yeah, you trade it off and that's what it is. So,
yeah, well, this thing kicks a lot of ass in the rocks. I can tell you that. I've seen your videos. So,
it's just fun. It's a hobby for me, and I enjoy it. It's a release from work at the end of the day. No, we all have hard jobs, and we all have ways to make our money, but at the end of the day, if you can find a way to check out, you know, on Friday when you leave work or whenever your last day is, and check out and not think about work until Monday morning again, that's what we all need to keep ourselves balanced, in my opinion. And the rocks do that for me, so...
Well, they're a good time. I love it out here. Have you always been into side by side? Did you get into it when you moved out here? Did you come from a different type of off-road vehicle, or just kind of like, oh, hey, there's a Maverick. That's sick. Let's get one of those.
I literally decided to buy one because they were taking the podium to King of the Hammers. So getting into the side-by-side industry, I'd never owned one. I thought people were nuts. Like, no one's going to spend that kind of money when they were $12,000.
So
I had quads back then. You know, and I had lifted trucks growing up. You know, I grew up in Salt Lake City, and we did our stuff up there. Nothing like this at all.
Oh, yeah.
So the whole side-by-side industry is pretty much due to me when I bought this. This is my first side-by-side. I don't want to say it's... I could have bought some other ones, but I look at it going, you know what? At the end of the day, we have modified this thing to no end. And it's like four different cars by the time we've stretched it for 39s on it. I really ran it through. It's just been a fun car to play with at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, and once you like kind of figure out the tricks and like you have that recipe that works, it does become kind of like you're looking at a new car and you're like, man, do I want to redo all of everything I did, or am I just like gonna just keep iterating on what I got? You know?
Correct.
So
well, and once you get it all dialed in, you're just like, man, this works. Is the next one gonna work this good? You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's not a cheap risk. It's not like a $500 gamble. It's like a $30,000 gamble at this point.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, this is my first car, but I thought about selling it a couple times or, you know, getting a new one. I'm like, for what? So I can go run it down the rocks and be afraid to scratch it and not use it? I'm like, no, I'll take what I have in this all day and we're going to run it.
Yeah, well, dude, it goes from riding in it. Like, I can tell you, you're going over stuff without touching the bottom that I 100% am like, got to be a little whiskey throttle to get up.
Yeah, I don't want to say we're idling through this stuff, but we're pretty much idling through this stuff.
Yeah, as much as you can be idling in a belt-driven vehicle.
Yeah, well, and for a car that still does 65 miles an hour.
Yep.
You know?
No,
like it's a good balance for what it is.
It's a weapon,
and
for sure.
37s and 30% reduction is pretty good in a Can-Am, I'd say.
Yeah, well, like I say, it works. I'm watching it right now, and it's working for sure. You mentioned you started seeing these things take over at King of Hammers as far as podiums go. Were you big into King of Hammers? You just kind of just like to watch it?
I was just doing a bunch of research and side-by-sides at that time. So I was just watching everything, you know, thinking, what do I want to buy? So I rented several different machines. I spent thousands of... Well, probably $2,000 or $3,000 renting different machines before I bought this.
That's a smart way to do it. I figured probably just see them and like, yeah, let's just do that.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I decided the RC model because I'm like, if it can take the beating from rocks, it should be able to take a beating from whatever stupid stuff I decide to do with it.
Yeah.
Same with skid plates and those kind of things. The first 1,000 miles I put on the car, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, one minute I'm like, oh, I want a roof rack. I want to be able to put a paddleboard on it and drive to the lake. And one minute I'm like, oh, wait, I want desert tires. And, you know, I'm doing 90 miles an hour. I'm like, no, I don't like that either. I'm like, I'd rather just crawl on the rocks. You can get your heart pumping just fast enough trickling through the rocks.
Absolutely. It's one of those things. It's like, as far as slow as you're going, your heart rate's so much higher than you would think it would be.
Yeah, well, and the rocks, obviously there's a lot of R&D that goes into the rocks, I feel, right now.
Oh, yeah.
Very beneficial as we play into it. So as I watch it all, I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of R&D to play with, which is awesome to watch it evolve. Like, obviously the sand and the trails and all that, there's plenty there, but it's kind of been an ongoing thing for years. So, you know, there was a group of people that got into it 4 or 5 years ago, and I look at it, and I'm like, you know what? I've watched all of us just kind of learn a ton of stuff and get to play with some new products, which has been amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Trying to help build the industry.
Well, that's one thing that I think is, I think we are in the golden age right now of technology advancement for the side-by-side world. And I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think, like, not to say that it's bad or it's not going forward, but I feel like the Jeeps have kind of hit this spot where it's like, okay, like, where else do we go? Like, is it just, it seems like it's just bigger tires. And I don't know that that's really what it is. I probably just don't see enough of it. But I feel like with the side-by-side stuff, we're seeing, you know, portal cars come out. We're seeing all sorts of different people with different tire compounds. You know, the stretching of the cars, like, everything is just kind of accelerating for the side-by-side industry right now. And I find it really fascinating. And I'm really excited about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it evolves so fast. There's so much movement in it. And like you were saying, we had a conversation a week or so ago, how many side-by-sides were sold in the nation last year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you look at that, I'm like, all those guys want accessories. All those guys want to spend a little money on them. They want to change it. They want to make it unique towards their own.
Yeah.
Put their own signature on it. So,
yep.
You know, the average guy wants lighted whips on a sound system.
I feel personally attacked, Rob.
Do you? Hey,
no.
You know what? And I've been there. I'm like, I need a sound bar. I need whips. And I'm like, I don't even go out at night anymore. So, like, it's all good. I don't need lighted whips. Although they did take a beating. My whips would take a beating when I'd roll over. I'm like, man, I bent my whip at a 90-degree angle, and it still works. I'm happy.
Yeah. No,
or
I don't.
Fiberglass flag would bend.
Yeah. I'm not a big soundbar guy either, but I am. I do like lighted whips. I like to get out. I'm not as dedicated to the rocks as you are, but I do feel like there is a lot of people that are just, you know, think it's cool, just grab a side-by-side, lighted whips and a sound system, and I think the sound system, unfortunately, is like, I don't know, and maybe it's just because I work with Cardo or whatever, but like, I'm so much happier just listening to my own stuff in my headsets. I'm kind of over the phase of like, everybody needs to hear my music as well.
I think as we get older, that's just one of those things, you know? Like, no, I don't need to be loud and let everybody hear. But, you know, to each their own. Like, everyone's different. So I think as long as everyone's good, whether they want to have a system or lighted whips or rock crawler, at the end of the day, if they're respectful and they're on the trail, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, having trail etiquette, respecting the parks, respecting the people, those are critical things to me. So I don't ever want to attack one person.
No.
I look at it, I'm like, hey, if you're respectful at the end of the day, that's what we need.
Agreed. And you're talking about, you know, the amount of people that have come into side-by-sides. For those that don't know, the number that I've heard is there's been 400,000 side-by-sides sold in the U.S. this year. And in comparison with my conversations with Rich, there's only about 80 to 100,000 Jeeps. And that big influx, like, you're never going to have that big of a change in a demographic without some growing pains. And I think that those growing pains are being felt really strongly right now in the off-road industry. On one hand, I think they're being felt a lot more, and there's a lot more inter-sport or community squabbling. But on the other hand, I do feel like we're kind of coming together a little bit more. I'm curious if you've ever been out and felt any sort of like animosity from other people in the Jeep community or other communities, or is everybody that you've dealt with been pretty chill, I guess, for a lack of a better term?
I try to be very respectful to everyone's opinions in the industry, which has been beneficial to, you know, making friends at the end of the day. Now I have ran into some people on the Jeeps. I look out of my wave, there's nothing against the glare. And I'm like, why? What did I do to you? I'm like, whatever, to each their own. That happens everywhere in life. That happens at the gas station, not just on the trail. That's just miserable people. So I don't want to blame it on the industry, but I look at it going, some of these people, I've been doing this for this many years and you came out and ruined the sport. I'm like, we're all out here to ride. We're all going to use the outdoors. If we don't use them, we're going to lose them.
Yeah.
So if we can get along while we're on the trail, that's amazing. At the end of the day, like the off-road cars and coffee, it's good to get people out of their element. You're off a trail. Now, as a guy comes walking by you there, and you're like, oh, don't even know who this guy is, but I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah, you don't know that, like, you don't even know what you drive, and it's not like he's a Jeep person holding up the trail or a side-by-side person blowing past. It's just another human being, and then you can kind of get into, like, oh, dude, what do you like? Like, tell me about your car. Tell me what you got going on. Yeah. I think that off-road cars and coffee has been a huge benefit, and I don't even know if my perceptions on this are correct, because I feel like in my own experience, I have dealt with almost nothing but good people from every single walk of the outdoor off-road community. I've not really met anybody who has been like, no, dude, I will not go with you. I will not talk to you. But that being said, I have some anecdotal evidence of like people I know that have had that experience of, like you say, like, we've been in this industry for so long and now you're ruining it. That's not just, you know, coming from the side-by-side community. My sister went to the Bronco Off Rodeo with one of her friends, and she said that multiple people down there in the Broncos were telling her how they tried to go jeeping, or they were trying to go run trails with people, and they just kind of get the cold shoulder from people in Jeeps. And to me, that's very confusing, because I've not experienced that. Everybody that I've met and actually made the effort to go out and try and connect with has been extremely helpful, extremely, you know, open, and not at all exclusive. So to me, it's a little bit of a confusing thing. And I wonder if it's just overblown, and I wonder if it's just something that maybe we need more of that interaction, like off-road cars and coffee, where, like, I don't know about you, but do you ever go on a ride and you're like, hey, I want to go find this group of Jeeps, and I'm going to go with these Jeepers, or vice versa, or is it just kind of some self-segregation, self-selection, that we don't have those interactions and we don't see other people in the industry doing the same thing and be able to bridge that gap?
I think it's all the little things that are going together, whether it be Trail Hero trying to mix things, cars and coffee, people like us, people like the people we run with, trying to help circle the industry together. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not. That wasn't developed overnight, the separation that's been there. But I just look at I think just keep twisting it. What it's going to take is, it's going to take some industry leaders to saying, hey, I'm cool with so-and-so, whether it's a side-by-side guy or whether it's a, you know, I'll keep this thing in the eye. Whether it's a side-by-side guy or whether it's a Jeep guy or a buggy guy, you know, saying, hey, maybe a buggy guy. Some industry buggy guy leaders like, hey, actually, we're friends with some of the side-by-side guys because we actually own side-by-sides too. So yeah, we're friends with them, and it's when you get the key components, there's leaders in life, and those people are going to follow them. They're going to say, hey, actually, he's got a very valid point. You know, we are one at the end of the day. It's not about whether you're a Jeep, a side-by-side, a buggy, a trophy truck, a mountain bike, a dirt bike. It doesn't matter what you are. Yeah. We, at the end of the day, are all wanting to play on the same land. This same land will get taken away from us if we, as a community, an off-road community, don't tidy up. They're going to make us fight against each other to distract what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then we end up with that whole quote about, like, first they came for the this or that and the other, and I wasn't that, so I didn't stand up for it. I don't know, I just butchered the quote, but you know what I'm saying.
No, 100%.
And to me, we don't have This is a dead horse that I will continue to beat until we all kumbaya together. We don't have the numbers as individual groups to stand up against people that just don't want anything out here. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of people that are passionate for the off-road industry versus not, yeah, we're definitely outnumbered.
Yeah, so I think we need to have that solidarity, and I really, I don't know, I hope I don't do anything ever that'll make a Jeeper feel less than, or make somebody on a dirt bike feel less than. Like, for me, I don't know, even the interaction we had in the parking lot, just barely. There, for those that weren't there, because it wasn't recording, we had a dude show up in a Jeep, and I just went over and started yakking at him, just saying, dude, I like this. You got a Trustin shaved 14 bolt under your Jeep? That's cool. Like, I like learning and seeing all of that stuff. And I'm very interested, because that guy was like, oh, yeah, I also have a Turbo S. And one thing that's interesting about that interaction there is talking to Rich Klein, he told me some of the data he has on it. He was like, you wouldn't believe, but 60% of the people that come to Trail Hero have a side-by-side. He's like, we track all that. They own some form of side-by-side. But he said, I think it was either 3 or 10% actually bring them to Trail Hero. So it's kind of, I don't know what that is, but I'm starting to think more and more it's just like a lack of actually having to go out and interact with people on the trail. My emotions on this thing have swung from, oh yeah, side-by-side guys are really kind of jerks, you know, we should really clean up our own act, and that's great, to, oh, Jeepers are kind of, you know, just pretentious. And now I'm kind of back to a point where, like, I think we just need to, like, have some group rides, everybody. Like, I think that's really the answer.
No, and I kind of look at those same things. I'm like, as far as, like, going with the Jeeps, I'm like, you know, I think we've actually met up with you before. We've gone out back to...
Yeah.
Whatever it was called. It was...
Yeah, we did Landslide with Jordan. Oh, and he was Landslide. One singular red Jeep in a sea of side-by-sides.
Guess what? And we had a blast with them. And what did we do? So the side-by-sides make it out there faster. I said, hey, we're going to plan to meet at the Flintstone house at X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
You know, it's like, cool. All right, we're going to meet you there. Cool. So we met out there, we plotted around the corner to the trail, and we all ran the trail, you know? And it's moments like that where I'm like, no, even if we don't want to travel out that far, there's plenty of trails up front we can all play on. It's like, hey, let's meet at Waddy's Corral, and let's run over and run Risky Business together, or Milts, or whatever.
Yeah, something close.
But it's like...
close.
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not the average side-by-side guy. I'm Portal, 30% reduction. My top speed, 65. I look at it going, guess what? I'm not really going... I'm going faster than the Jeep, I'll tell you that. But do I need to? No, I don't have to. I choose to because I have the option to. They don't have the option to. Well, some don't have the option to.
I was going to say, I've seen some Jeeps that can boogie, dude. Some of them can get out there.
100%. Yeah, some of them are like, no... I'm not going to go that fast throughout there. So, yeah. No, it's just trying to find. And, you know, I know guys in the Jeep industry and buggy industry. And guess what? We didn't have a relationship here. A relationship working, you know, where I'm a superintendent for a contractor. I meet a lot of people every day, and I don't even know what these people do as their hobbies until I get to learn them and use what they have, or they've heard of me, or some, we've heard of them, or someone made a comment, or, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, oh, well, I drive such and such. Oh, that's me. And I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, you're part of that group. Oh, cool. And I'm like, man, that's freaking awesome. So then half these guys come into work and they're like, yo, bro, I got to show you what I did to my Jeep. Oh, I got to show you what I did to my truck. You know? And I'm like, I like that kind of stuff. It's where we go in and get the job done, but guess what? We have a relationship outside of work. So it's not one of those, it's like, oh, we've got to not talk to that guy because we don't like that guy. No, it's like, we know that guy, he actually helps me make money in the industry so I can provide for my off-road hobby.
Yeah.
So then it creates a bond at that point, you know, whether it's, you know, you need your windows tinted at your house and you go through John Hemble, you know, well, John Hamble has a side-by-side and a buggy, you know. Great dude. Amazing. Done a lot of work with them. You know, actually, him and Dave Wonga both came out and done stuff for us. So it's stuff like that. Just finding a way to connect with the industry outside of the industry. Build the bridge outside and bring it in, and next thing you know, all these people will follow and say, oh, it's actually okay to talk to this group of side-by-side guys because guess what? They're okay people. It's not going to start with everybody liking everybody.
No.
It's going to start evolving into other circles of, oh, they're an off-road. That's a cool off-road group. So I think as those join in and other people join in with the other off-road groups, whatever it be, and it's like, okay, that's a cool thing to do, you know? These guys have proven it. It might take 5 years to pull this off. But guess what? Got 5 years to give it. And I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a passion for me. And we live in an amazing place.
Oh, yeah.
You look at all this stuff out here. We can just go play, open OHV, do whatever we want, you know?
Yep.
And there's Jeeps out here. There's buggies out here. We're all out here, so.
Yeah.
And I think everybody wants everything. We all want a side-by-side. I want a Jeep, too. I want a buggy. I want a freaking trophy truck, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Plus, I want a Lamborghini. So, you know, I want it all. And I want a plane to get there. So,
yeah,
I look at
sure.
The end of the day, and I'm like, if I could have it all, like, I wouldn't be against Jeepers at all. No, I'm jealous that I can't afford one, but I can't be this deep into this one and still afford everything else at this moment in my life. So,
yeah.
No, I think it's all going the right way. Rich Klein's helping out a ton on his side by intermingling.
Yeah.
I think it might make a few people mad, but, you know, that's part of growing. You know, you're going to make a guy or two mad. You're gonna put 10 more in your pile. And then eventually, some of the times the people that get mad about things, it's like, nah, you were going to get mad regardless about something. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's a big thing. I think, like you say, having those off-road, or being away from the off-road, like those entirely separate relationships can help a lot.
A ton.
And I think that, you know, we've got some good stuff going on down here. Off-road cars and coffee. I mean, you've got some stuff coming up for 12 Days of Christmas, right?
Oh, yeah. We got 12 Days of Christmas coming up, too.
So
that's just another awesome thing. And I haven't really ever brought this out to the industry yet. But, you know, I run Sand Hollow Extreme. Yes, it's also a company at this point. What is it going to be in the future? I don't know, but I really want to switch Sand Hollow Extreme to a Sand Hollow Extreme off-road, a side-by-side group. Like, let's just go full off-road at that point. Let's intermingle everyone at that time. I think it'd be beneficial. You
100%.
Know, at that point in time, if I could have 12 Days of Giveaway go through the industry as a whole, Jeepers and all, that'd be awesome. You know, people see this 12 Days of Christmas, they're like, dude, you have to do that again. I'm like, why do I have to do it again? I'm like, it takes so much time, but you know what? Some days you just do stuff to keep everybody happy at the end of it, and it's like, okay, we're good. Let's go.
Well, that was awesome.
There you go.
Hang on.
Yeah, so 12 Days of Christmas, you know, that's apparel. You purchase apparel to get to that, obviously, with the Sand Hollow Extreme. But at the end of the day, you know, there's sponsors on the shirt. You know, MST's helped me out tremendously over the years.
Well, they're a group that does side-by-sides, and they do trucks as well. It's like,
yeah,
we all end up doing the same things. It's just, I don't know why we can't just all do them together.
Yeah, well, and half the guys go in there for builds or going in there for builds, and then they're also, you know, it's like, hey, build my Jeep plus build my side-by-side.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I think what we got going on is good. I think you're doing a lot of good stuff. I think that I need to personally make more of an effort to try and, you know, find a other group of Jeep other than the ones I already run with, and just beyond the outside of the off-road stuff, I just want to try and find some people and just go start being like, hey man, what trail are you guys running? Do you care if I come with you? I'm not going to outrun you. I just want to come, like, watch how you work. And I think getting into a lot of the, you know, the knowledge that the older Jeep guys have would be extremely beneficial, but it's something we just all got to work on. But, you know, we're wrapping up this trail here. We kind of already touched on your 12 Days of Christmas. If anybody doesn't know or doesn't follow Rob, go check out his page, Rob on the Rocks, on Instagram. Go join the Facebook group, Sand Hollow Extreme Side-by-Side Rock Crawling, for now. Anything else you want to plug, Rob?
No. Just think the world's got enough hate that I think everybody just needs to get along. That's what it is at the end of my day. I'm like I said, this is my escape from work. So if everybody can utilize it that way and team up on a team, we can all go out and trail talk together, just like we do at Off-Road Cards and Coffee.
Heck yeah.
So, nope, I appreciate everything you're doing as far as putting all this together, because it's all time consuming. Some people don't realize how much time you put into it, I put into it. It's not a money thing. It's the passion that goes behind it.
Yeah.
So huge shout out to you for taking the time to put this together, to go on all these rides. I'm not the only ride you've had to do, and you've got plenty more coming up, which is hats off to you for doing this. We need more people like you in the industry.
Yeah. I'll force people to talk to me one way or another. You might not like side-by-sides, but I'll hang off the side of your Jeep and yak in your ear for a while if it'll help break the ice. But anyways,
100%.
Guys, thanks for watching. Go check out Rob's stuff. Don't forget to like and subscribe. You can catch us on a podcast, YouTube, wherever you want. Also, if you're a Jeep guy and you've got, you know, something to say about this, dude, come just message me. Let's go talk. But we'll catch you on the next one.